This is episode number 983 with Olympic gold medalist Kerry Walsh Jennings.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Winston Churchill once said, "Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts." And Venus Williams said, "Just believe in yourself. Even if you don't, pretend that you do, and some point you will." My guest today is one of the most decorated American athletes of all time. Kerry Walsh Jennings has won 3 Olympic gold medals and 1 bronze in beach volleyball, as well as 3 world championship titles. She's a machine. She's also notched more career victories and earned more total money than any woman in history. And the Tokyo Olympics were actually supposed to start this week. Crazy, I know. I was supposed to be there, and this is my favorite time every 4 years. And Kerry was aiming for redemption after finishing 3rd in Rio in 2016, and I was there to watch that performance. So it seemed like a perfect time to bring you this interview. We sat down for a wide-ranging conversation back in early spring before we knew the full scope of the coronavirus pandemic. But Kerry's wisdom is incredibly relevant in this moment. And in this episode, we discuss how to perform at your best in the most challenging moments, why Kerry still suffers negative self-talk, and what she does to overcome it. This blew my mind when she shared this. Why the process is as important as the results, super hard for a lot of us to deal with, how meditation is an essential tool for the highest achievers, and so much more. If you find this inspiring, if you want to make an impact in the world, then make sure to share this with someone who you think could be inspired by this as well. Just send them the link, lewishowes.com/983, or copy and paste the link on Apple Podcast or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this right now. And a quick reminder, if you haven't yet subscribed, go to Apple Podcast and click the subscribe button on the School of Greatness, as well as giving us a 5-star rating and review to help us spread the message of greatness to more people. Stay tuned for Olympic legend Kerry Walsh Jennings.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/greatness. netsuite.com/greatness. Again, head to netsuite.com/greatness.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game, or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LEWIS.
All right, welcome back to one of the School of Greatest podcasts. We've got Kerry Walsh Jennings in the house. Super excited.
Oh, me too.
The icon. I've seen you. Oh. I've seen you play a number of times. I saw you in London. It was my first Olympics that I went to, and I told myself, and you were one of the only few sports that I actually watched. I remember watching from the top in London. It was like a nice little venue.
An amazing venue.
It was cool. Yeah. And somehow I think I connected with someone from Gatorade who was like, had extra tickets, and I was in there, and I was watching you guys. It was amazing. I watched you in Rio as well.
You did?
I was there in Rio.
Oh, yep. A good game or a tough game? Did we win or lose?
I was just looking at my phone before you got here, because I thought I had videos of it, but I couldn't find it, so I have to go back.
Let's just say we won.
You won that game for sure. And that was amazing. And I remember going to London as my first Olympics to attend. And I was like, I can never miss an Olympics again.
Oh, really?
It was amazing just to experience it.
I cannot wait to experience it as a spectator. 100%.
Right?
Yes. I want more as a competitor.
Yeah.
I want one more. But my goodness, they do such a great job.
It's unreal.
It's unreal. And then you just feel like you're floating everywhere because the energy is like so electric.
So cool. But you don't get the experience at all, do you?
No.
You're just focused.
I mean, you know how it is when you're competing. Yeah. You're just like, I'm here to do one thing. And sightseeing and all that stuff is for later, but no, we're on a mission. Usually for volleyball, we go almost the whole 2 weeks of the Olympics, and we play every other night until the playoff rounds. So you're just like, the hardest thing in the world is to wait for your next match.
Yeah.
You know, you have like 24 hours plus, and you're like, oh my gosh, when usually we play 2 or 3 matches a day, we're like rolling.
You do one match, and then you wait 2 days.
Yes,
or a day and a half.
Exactly. So it's
what do you
it's
do
a
that
mental
downtime?
Man. Well, I have my children and my husband, so that's wonderful. But I find myself, it's really hard. Like, I have not mastered that, and I don't know if I can, you know, because I want to be with, like, my kids didn't go to Rio because Zika.
Mm-hmm.
We were worried, but my husband went. But when I would be with him, I was so anxious and tense, and it was just, it wasn't fair to him, you know? And it's, like, really hard to express. Like, I love you so much, and I want to be with you, but I can't. You know, he's like, well, you have 2 days. I'm like, I can't.
This is the two most important weeks of the 4 years for you.
I mean, I guess so. Right? Ultimately, yeah.
I mean, those 2 weeks, you should be so dialed in and focused. Yeah. You need to be selfish.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I'm of the mindset where I just want to have so much fun. Yeah. And like I want to win with my people, like living life. You know, I'm obsessed and I'm like intense and all these things. But I also want to have a flip side of that because that's just, I think that's possible. And I have not done that yet. And so.
You mean like having fun, being with your friends
and dominating
family and your team and winning every game. And just like not all this pressure and stress.
Yeah. Well, I don't even see it as pressure and stress. Like when you're, I'm in like a little vacuum when I go to the Olympics, you know, it's like we don't stay in the village because that energy is intense. We stay there for like 2 nights before opening ceremonies and then we're like, peace out. Because some people are done the first day and they're just raging and hanging.
Like drinking,
you know?
And having sex with them.
Just apparently.
Just like, yeah,
I don't
know. Crazy.
All those stories. I mean, can you imagine 4 years of just waiting? But yeah, so we kind of disassociate from that. But like to me, it's just another tournament. Like I kind of have the Hoosiers mindset where, you know, it's like the same court. All the all the measurements
the
are the same.
Height,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, and it's so true. It's and then we don't watch TV. Usually we're in a foreign country, you know, and I don't really watch TV anyway. And so we just kind of go in your little cocoon, know what you want to do. But I just want to do it with a little bit more lightheartedness. Not hang out with my family all day long before a night, you know, a match or whatever, but just
some quality time.
More balance.
Now, I remember watching some interviews of you talk after you won the bronze.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure people ask you.
It depends on the day you hit me. I'm like, what? What do you got?
And I remember you talking about, I don't, maybe it was in Tom Bilyeu's interview or somewhere else, or maybe it was briefly after the Olympics were done, where you said it was like one of the greatest lessons for you. It was like your most happy medal. It was not happy, but it was like you learned the most from it. You were like, I'm grateful we got this bronze. Something like that.
Oh, well, we won the bronze, right? Like we won. Like to go from like utter devastation. Like literally,
I'm not getting into the gold.
Yeah, not even just that, because I've lost so many times in my career. But it's like losing a certain way, you know, like not playing great, and it was my fault. Mm. Like that's how I framed that entire match, and so to miss out on this opportunity, not only my dream, but my partner's dream, and our family, and our team, like that's how I framed everything. So the 24 hours, the less than 24 hours between the semifinal match loss and the time we played, I was a wreck. Like such a zombie, just like literally walking in circles. Do you ever walk in your head like, what am I doing?
Right, because you've never been in that position before.
Never.
You always made the gold medal match.
There was so much shame and so much embarrassment and like, oh my God, this is crazy. But to get the opportunity to go and live another day, to fight another day, my husband at one point, he's like, you got to stop feeling sorry for yourself. Wow. You have another chance. Like, this is so rad. Like, go and be an American and show that spirit. That's what America is made of. And I was like, dude, it's so right? Like, I try to live with the Christmas spirit in me every day and the Olympic spirit in me every day. And losing the semifinal match was such a great opportunity for me to just, like, I guess look in the mirror and be like, are you going to practice what you preach right now? Suck it up, be a woman, pull your boots up and go get them, you know? Or are you going to feel sorry for yourself?
And lose the bronze.
Right, and lose
and
the bronze.
And go out in fourth place.
Dude, the worst. My first Olympics, we got fourth. It's so hard.
What was that? Was that
indoor in Sydney 2000.
Sydney 2000. Oh, yeah. Indoor.
Indoor.
You did indoor Olympics.
Indoor.
Yes. I didn't even know you were in
the Olympics. Finishing at Stanford. And then, I took like a year off to do that. But we got fourth. And we kind of overachieved, so it wasn't like... It wasn't that much of a heartbreak, you know.
Like we got as far as we could go.
Yeah, and we could have, should have, but we didn't, and it was okay. You know, I don't know. It was more okay. I hate losing.
When was it? What year was that?
That was 2000. Yeah, so I was 22.
This is 2020. You've been in the Olympics for 20 years.
I know. I'm an old lady.
You're a machine.
Yes, I'm going to take that.
Wow.
Yeah,
20 years in the Olympics.
Yeah, so that's 5 Olympics, going for 6. And I want 6 so bad. I wear 4. My husband, oh my gosh, my husband was like, I'm like, babe, do you like my new necklace? So I wear this gold 4. And he's like, yeah, what does it mean? I'm like, what? I'm like, can you take one moment and think about it?
A gold 4, yeah.
Yeah,
4 gold
and he literally, exactly, this is what I want. And I like to, you know, rep myself and what I want. And this is, I just got this weekend. It's a black figa, which is very popular in Brazil, but it's like empowerment. And it's just like a sign of strength.
Wow.
And I was like, that's a sign. I'm going to wear it. And it's kind of Black Mamba-ish.
It is very Black Mamba. Everywhere. I love that.
But anyhow, it was an opportunity to like live by my values, mm-hmm. you know, which is never quit, never say die, you know, step up to the challenge and just give it my all, you know. And winning the bronze was the hardest thing ever, mentally and emotionally.
I remember volleyball watching is volleyball, after that.
But my God.
You were like crying. You were like excited, crying. You were doing your post interviews. It was just like, you're
really?
So happy.
Oh,
I remember being
yeah.
so
well,
happy.
What a
relief. Like, I remember seeing you high five like everyone around the arena.
Well, that's what I do. I yeah, can't
but you were
it.
So like, we won the bronze.
Oh, it's you know? So fun. You know, and something that I really, really want to do on the way to qualifying for Tokyo and then in Tokyo, like, I don't want to feel relief after a win. Mm. I want to really feel like, exactly.
Excited.
Exactly. Satisfaction. We did it, we knew we can do it, and we're living in our greatness.
Wow.
You know, because after winning that bronze was total relief.
Because what if you'd gotten fourth?
Yeah, and it was just, yeah. And it was ugly. Like, we won ugly. We did not play great volleyball, but we won. And I think it was, like, the perseverance and literally the American spirit, I believe, that fueled us mm-hmm. to win, because that's something special, you know?
It is very special. Yeah. What do you think would have happened if you got fourth in the last Olympics? Would you still be competing, or would you be?
I have no doubt. You know, I think part of the reason, like, I'm so confused why we got third. Like, I'm so confused about that whole semifinal match. Not that I always play perfectly or we always won, but, like, we were the best team in the world. Like, we were playing amazing that tournament.
Yeah.
And there was, everything felt great. And it was just a night. Excuse my language.
It's okay.
Beep that one.
It's okay.
But I really think I would have retired, and I would have retired prematurely.
If you won,
you know,
a gold?
If we won a gold.
Wow.
And
you
if
said,
we won
I'm
a fourth,
done.
I would have. It might have taken me longer, perhaps, to say I'm coming back, but no way. I just wasn't done. On the way back from Brazil, I think we left the next day, flying back, and literally in the back of my book, or the seat back, you know, pocket, they always clean it out the flight before, right?
Uh-huh.
In the back of the pocket, there was a book, you either win or you lose, but the lose was crossed out, and it said learn. That's the book there that someone left. And I'm like, okay, God.
Wow.
Okay. I'll do it, you know? So I'm still learning. And this quadrennial, I kind of live my life in 4 years, right? Which you can understand.
Of course.
But it's been really challenging, like really challenging. Because it's like, instead of being here, the alpha, like on top, winning consistently, like Brooke and my partner, Brooke Sweat, who's incredible, we literally started at the bottom and we're making our way up. And our
How
process.
How do you start at the bottom? What do you mean?
So I had, after Rio, I had a couple surgeries. You mm-hmm. lose points. I had terrible finishes with my another partner. So you lose points, right? And then Brooke had surgeries, didn't have a great year. So we had no points. And you need entry points
to get in tournaments.
So we had
to. Even if you've won gold medals in the past, 100%, it doesn't matter?
Yeah, someone's like, let's just grandfather you in. I'm like, you're crazy. I would be so insecure once I got there.
Wow.
You know, you need to be sharp. And you need to be sharpened by the world competition,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, it's been a crazy 3 years so far with Brooke and I. And I'm just ready for smooth sailing, you know. And for us just to take up our space. Like, we're both so hard on ourselves. We just had a tough practice this morning. And I'm like, why are we so mean to ourselves? Like, we know how to play volleyball. We are both excellent. We are so good. And yet, we make one mistake and it, like, affects everything. We get quiet. We, like.
Why do you think you beat yourself up?
Man, just a bad habit.
Mm.
I don't know. I feel like my framework for so long in my life was like, just do it right and don't F up, you know?
And what if you mess up, then?
Then you fail, you know? And it's just, and my life, like, I was so, so supported, but there's a lot of excellence in my life and a lot of very high expectations and things that I'm so grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
But the flip side of that could be that you identify yourself with your victories, with your successes, you know, with your performance. And I certainly do that. I still do that.
Really?
And Rio helped me break through that a little bit. Being, becoming a mommy, leaving the sport for, you know, a couple years, getting pregnant, having babies, made me show that I'm very irrelevant. You know, like, the world moves on
if you're not performing,
so fast.
Yeah, if you're not
you
winning
know?
And playing, it's
or
like,
just, yeah, exactly. And so that kind of made me kind of own myself as a human. But the losing and the, like, the poorer performances, I still have a tough time with that because I'm like, God, I'm better than this.
Mm-hmm.
And B, it's just that mental framework before is if you're not winning, you're failing.
Mm.
Like, I need to shift that because it should have never worked. It worked for a long time, that fear of failure. It pissed me off. It motivated me. But now it makes me smaller and it doesn't serve me in a powerful way.
In what ways it makes you smaller? Like, internally you feel smaller or you feel?
I kind of live in the what if instead of I'm doing this, like, F you, get out of my way, it's like I'm kind of on my heels more instead of like stepping up. You know, like I always want to be a hunter when I compete. Yeah. And the mindset to me is everything because I work my ass off. Like I'm so strong and I'm so physical and I love training. The mental and the emotional side of it is so challenging. You know, it's as a as an individual human, as a woman, and then with combined with my partner who has her own amazing, you know, ecosystem of your emotion and all these things.
Life partner or your
well, both. Your but we're talking partner. Volleyball
gotcha,
here.
Gotcha.
But you know, because it's like, and it's so cool in volleyball. Like, it, you know, I was thinking about this. In all of the world, it's such a unique sport because it's 2-on-2, right? Like, you have doubles tennis, but you are solely responsible for that return or that hit. I set my partner up. She sets me up. So there's a whole other dance element to it and connection element to it. Yeah. So I'm rambling, but it's really fun. Great. It's what I love the most about the sport is that aspect of it, but also that I have to pull my weight. You know, we have to lean on each other, but each be super autonomous and like capable of handling our, you know what?
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful sport.
What do you think is the biggest weakness you have mentally?
My self-talk.
Okay, so let me break this down. You're the best in the world.
I was.
Okay, well, you're arguably
like, and it pisses me off to say that. I should just let you roll with that.
You're the best in the world. Just because you got third 4 years ago in a tournament doesn't mean you're not the best still.
But
LeBron James
today.
Loses too.
No, I know, but it's different.
He lost a couple weeks ago, didn't he?
Like, every time I play, it's for a championship. Like every single time.
Really?
Every time. I mean, you have a tournament, but like if you lose, you're out of the tournament, so there's another champion. You know what I'm saying? Like
for that tournament championship.
Yes. Gotcha. Like there's, it's not a season.
How many championships are there in a year?
I mean, there could be anywhere between 10 and 20.
Okay.
I mean, we've played season where there were 18 and we won
all of them?
Yeah.
All of them?
I think Misty won and I won all of them. So I've tasted that.
So what have you been, I guess, in the last 12 months?
We won one last year.
Out of how many?
Oof. And we played the most of anyone in the world. Over 15. And
these are world championship tournaments.
World
they're not
tour
just
events.
Like U.S. World
no,
tour events.
World tour. So you're playing the
best
Olympics,
in the world.
Basically.
So you won one out of
we
how many?
We won one. Over 15. We made maybe
finals?
Three finals. But I don't care. You know? Wow. So this is what I do.
So wait a minute. When you go into a practice, let's break it down. When you go into a practice this morning, for example, just an everyday normal practice where you're going hard, you guys are practicing. I'm assuming you're practicing against men, right? Like
who we have are two coaches.
Bigger, faster, stronger type of mentality.
Yeah, like, often. Yeah. Yes.
And so normal practice happens and you don't do what you know you can do. You don't do what you're capable of. You miss the block, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know the terminology perfectly, but you miss the certain stuff that happens. What do you say to yourself when you do something that's not perfect?
I mean, you would need a couple beeps. Like, what are you doing?
You'll say this internally.
Oh, yeah.
Not out loud.
I'm sorry, kids.
You're good? You'll say it.
But yeah, it's kind of like, but it's not deep the way I say it or mean it. But like, death by like 1,000 paper cuts is a real thing. You know, and I just, there's like fear behind that and there's weakness behind that. And I think anything, like everything is energy. So if that's like, I'm creating momentum with those thoughts and with the, you know, that internal dialogue. And I need to stop it. And I need to be like, Carrie, you're on your way. Like this is a process. And so what I'm coming to learn, that I have to love the process. Like I have to make the decision and then just be done with it. You know, because you only fail if you just frame it that way.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to quit. You know, that's the ultimate failure to me, or having a poopy attitude and like, you know, like ending on those terms, that would be quitting. But the process is a beautiful thing and I love it. I just have forgotten that I love it.
Now, how often do you say positive things to yourself, or do you only speak positively internally when you do something right?
You know, I don't know how to answer that. Yeah.
Do you speak positive self-talk internally?
In my life, I do. Like, I'm a happy girl.
I mean,
like,
I practice.
Look at the rainbow. Look at the butterfly. I look great. You know, I don't know. You know, our coaches do a good job being like, that's what good looks like. You know, that was great. Carrie, you're doing this good. And I tend to only hear the criticisms.
Right.
So I don't even
you
hear
don't
that.
You don't
hear
that. It just goes in and out. And then you wait until, but you can improve there.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
So you don't even say anything positive to yourself?
I mean, during matches, I for sure do.
But not I'm better practice. There.
No, but I believe in practicing like I compete.
I've seen videos where you talk
yes.
like that.
Yes, no, 100%.
You're like just as intense in practice.
Yes. Well, yes. And now it's like I'm too on this side of the spectrum. Too intense, too aggro.
I wonder if you, if you were this negative, maybe, to yourself, like, but maybe that's what's driven you to be successful.
No.
I don't know.
No,
I wonder
not.
What it'd be like if you
it's
were positive for a week.
No, like I know, exactly.
You practiced it daily for a week.
I love it. So I listen to Abraham Hicks every day, right? Love her, love them, yeah. Law of Attraction. So what I'm doing now.
I'm trying
now,
to interview her, yeah, she'd be great.
Are you?
Well,
can I
she's
come?
Like impossible, but if you have a connection to her, let me know.
I don't, but I'll try for
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh.
I'd probably fill the whole building. Yeah.
No doubt.
Anyway, so go ahead. You try to listen
oh
to her
my
every
God,
day.
Sorry.
So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all. Or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare, but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
If your child is struggling in school, then IXL is right for your family. IXL is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. It's no wonder it's used in 95% of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Plus, a month of IXL costs less than an hour of tutoring. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/20. Visit IXL.com/20 to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I just visualize that. I would like to be there. Thank you.
Okay.
So she tells you, if you're in a funk, mm-hmm. she's like, A, don't talk about it, which mm-hmm. I'm obviously talking about it. And mm-hmm. she's like, B, just like write down lists of the positive aspects. You know, what's going good?
With the funk?
You know? With my game.
Okay.
With the day, with my relationship with my husband, with you, with mm-hmm. my partner. You know, like just focus on the good is mm-hmm. the bottom line. Because again, every thought is momentum in one direction or the other. And I swear to you, I live my life that way. For some reason.
We're not in practice.
Not lately.
What?
I know, and it's driving me crazy. And it's such a disservice to my team. Like I'm being a selfish athlete right now. And it's almost like, I don't know, I mean, you're a man, I don't know if you get this, but like when women are on their periods and they're just like so hormonal, and like I have these moments where like I'm being an a-hole and I can't help it, I'm just gonna run with it. Like I know I'm doing this, but it's like almost like it has control over me.
Really?
And I think it's just like there's fear, like I want what I want so bad.
A fear of what?
Of not qualifying, of not being the greatest ever, like of not achieving this dream of 4G, you know, like, yeah. But mostly not doing it the right way. Like I can lose. I can totally lose. I fear losing the wrong way.
What's the wrong way?
Like
not trying, you mean? Or
no,
like,
that would never ever happened.
So what's the wrong way of losing?
I don't know.
Just, what's this fear?
I guess not winning. Like it's just the bottom line.
So you have
line.
A fear of losing.
I have a fear of losing.
Not qualifying, getting a silver or bronze or not a medal at all.
Yeah.
What would happen if you didn't qualify or if you didn't get the gold medal?
All good. I mean, I would be so bummed and it would fuel me in other areas. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, yeah, it'd always be something, a pebble in my shoe. But I've lived my worst nightmares. Like I've lived it. You know, I've lost on the world stage. I've almost lost my marriage. Like I've lived hell on earth, my personal hell on earth.
Right,
you know,
right, right.
To other people, they're like, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Which is totally valid.
Sure. Your own personal experience is still traumatic and challenging in its own way.
Totally. And
even if you've won three gold medals.
Exactly. Call me greedy. I don't care. But I've lived I've lived really, really hard things in my life, and I've survived.
What's the hardest moment you've been through?
In my career?
In your life.
In my life. Oh, man. Well, losing loved ones. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that takes the cake. We've had a lot of loss in our family. But our faith is so big, and it's just that, thank goodness. But almost losing my marriage. Like, the hardest, the craziest thing that I felt like I had no control over, so the only...
How did you almost lose it?
By losing sight of it, like being so focused on my career, taking for granted that my husband was right there with me and not putting in the effort, you know, and realizing too late.
Really? Was it after you had kids?
I was pregnant with our first, and he's like...
He was saying peace out already?
I'm gonna hit the road. I was a week overdue, and he's like, we're done. And I was like, oh.
Really?
That's gnarly. Yeah, and totally like... He was going through stuff, but we were just like this, and I didn't recognize it, you know, and I was so selfish and so driven and so focused on winning the 2008 games. I just lost sight of my people, like, you know, and I will never do that again, you know, and we founded a company called Platform 1440 so that we honor the minutes in the day. You know, there are only 1,440 minutes in the day. Like, that has become one of our greatest filters in life. Like, we're going to choose to do that. Does it service our 1440? Does it keep us connected, you know? And I'm terrible at it, but it's, you know, that awareness at least is
reminder.
Great. Yeah.
So when you almost lost the marriage, how did you bring it back? How did you make it work?
Well, I came to the realization that I had a big hand to play in it. Like, I stopped feeling like a victim. And I stopped pointing the finger.
You didn't say, this is your fault. I've got this thing I'm doing here. Don't you understand me?
No, he was right. Yeah. He was totally right. So I just went to work on me.
Really?
Yeah. And then Casey, my husband, you know, was going through his own stuff. And my only prayer was, like, I pray for clarity for both of us, because neither of us were clear. And we were so angry and so hurt and, like, acting out and lashing out that way, you know. And so I just prayed for clarity. Thank goodness he went and did his work, you know. And we just worked our asses off. And
in
it took time.
In the marriage, in the relationship.
Yeah. I mean, it was like our psychologist, who's our performance psychologist, but who helped us navigate this. Amazing. He was like, Carrie, if one of you has the tip of your baby toe in the door, there's hope. And literally, that's all my husband had in there. And I was
like,
all in.
He was out already. He was
so hurt.
I don't want this.
Yeah.
What was hurting him the most?
I'm his girl, you know, and I wasn't honoring him, you know, like, we made a commitment to, like, love and cherish and support, and I was so selfish, and I have so much, like, I adore my husband, so much, and I would write him love letters, like, I felt so connected to him on the road, but he, at some point, he just lost the connection fully, and, the notes, like, he would never read them, and
really?
He just felt, he was just so hurt, you know?
But you were still, trying. You were sending him notes.
I was, but that's kind of half-assed. Like, I could have, there's so many other things. You know, and then when I get home, I'd be tired, and I wouldn't, like, suck it up. And, you know, because that energy exchange is everything. You know, I don't believe in faking things.
Right.
But I know I can make something special even if I'm tired. Because he deserves it, you know?
Of course.
So there wasn't a lot of, like,
so you're pregnant.
That for me.
You're pregnant, and he's like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Because you're not trying. You don't care.
Yeah. Well, he's like, we're just two different people living two different lives.
Wow.
We've changed. Like, so many heavy, heavy things were said, where if I talk about it, I'm going to bawl.
How long were you married for, or together for?
Well, we started dating in 2001. We got married in 2005.
Wow.
And that was 2009.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was going to say, like, it's like all the major heartbreak in my life, aside from losing my loved ones, has led me, like... which is so cliche, but it's led me down profound paths of self-growth and deeper intimacy with God, with my husband, you know, with my partners and with the sport, you know. So it's truly a vehicle for self-growth, you know, failing and kind of living a messy life. However, I do believe that you can grow through joyful moments.
Of course.
And I would love to do that.
You don't have to be messy all the time to learn and grow. And Now, do you think you would have... I don't know how you'd have a better career, but do you think your career could have been better single without having a marriage?
No.
Do you feel like the marriage held you back in any ways? Like,
no.
Or do you feel like it supported you in actually achieving all your dreams?
I mean, it's just at some point, so I fell in love with my husband like my first day on the beach. Mm. Like, I met him.
He was a volleyball player too.
Yeah, and he's a stud. He's my favorite. God, no. No.
You couldn't have achieved the 3 gold medals on your own without him.
No. I mean, of course. But it's like, I'm here to live life. Right. You know, and I want that full experience. Like before Beijing, I was like, I had a miscarriage. So we got married in 05, I had a miscarriage. They're supposed to be twins, didn't split, and you know, went to heaven. And so we had, the timing of it was like, we have to make a decision. Either don't play the next Olympics or wait and have babies after. And we're like, okay, we'll wait. We're young, we got it. But my job started to feel very trivial and very shallow.
Your job being?
My job being professional beach volleyball player.
Why was it trivial?
Just because I was ready for more. I was ready for family. And so just my husband brought a new layer of myself and my life and my world. And then children obviously enhanced that by a billion. And so I'm here to like love life and just to do it with my guy. You know, and so no.
What's the greatest lesson that marriage has taught you about sports?
Oh, I mean, they're so similar.
Marriage is a sport, isn't it?
It's just
like a full contact sport.
Man, it's like what you do on the daily, like your habits. Basically, you are your habits, right? So if you're performing great on the court, your habits are probably pretty solid. You know, recovery, you're eating, you're working your ass off, all these things.
Mindset,
You're connecting with your partner.
Communication's great.
Yes. Yeah. Same thing with your marriage. Like, it's those little things and those habits, you know, and it's just, it's so worth the time to water that side of life. And it's so important. And I've said this before, but I've never won a volleyball match when my husband and I are fighting. Never.
Really?
Ever. I can't do it.
Not even like an early round match?
No. Like, for some reason, we get, like, in fights in the later rounds. I'm like, this should be illegal, like, first of all.
But we're not talking for 2 weeks yet.
No. Like, you know, life is just crazy. But, like, if my life is
good. You have to clear the fight first before you go into the match.
Because my soul is just hurt. Yeah. Like, he's part of my spirit, you know? And so if I'm feeling disconnected from Casey, then I'm just in trouble. You know, so that's how much my family and my people mean to me and affect me. And I love them so much. Like, my goal in life is to be autonomous, because that's like the ultimate freedom. You know, I can be in command of myself. I can be in command of my tools in life, on the court, off the court. And I don't want to lean on anybody. But my people take me to the next level. Mm. And their love and their support, my love for them, make me so brave, you know, and capable of enduring anything. And so it's just that part of the equation is important to me.
What's the greatest skill you think you have that makes you different than every other volleyball player?
Oh, like a technique? Or can it
could be any skill. It could be a mental skill. It could be a habit skill. It could be a technique. It could be a power, aggressiveness. It could be jumping. I mean, what's the thing that you have that no one else has?
I just have to say it's the full package. You know, I'm 6'2 and a bit. I'm really physical. I'm really effing hungry for the win. I got called last year next level intense, or last year I got called next level intense by my partner, my coach. And I was like, really? I am? Like, I never think of myself that way. It's just the way I'm wired, you know. But I think that, like, desire to win, that competitive nature, that intensity, you don't see it a lot. Like, you don't see it a lot. Yeah.
Height and with everything, like the whole package.
Well, I was going to say in men's sport too, but you see it, obviously. But yeah, women, it's a different vibe out there. It doesn't mean they're less competitive, but the expression of it is different.
Yeah.
You know,
you're like a tiger out there. You're like a lion. Lion,
you're gonna
eat someone's throat.
Exactly. Exactly. Happily.
Yeah. Are there any young women who are like in their mid-20s, late-20s who have that same type of like competitive drive? Or?
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah.
They're coming.
It's like everyone's like game face is different. You know, the way they express their competitiveness is so different. There's a handful of girls where they bring an edge some of them like piss me off. I'm like, what? But I respect them all and I appreciate it. You know, like there's one girl, she actually won the gold in Rio, Laura Ludwig. She's my favorite player.
She's
German.
German.
Yeah. Sure. And she's my favorite. And she has such a rad edge and such a big sweetheart, but she's so German. She's so like I am on point and determined, and I love her edge, you know. But outside of maybe two or three others, like there's really not a lot of like intense people going
really?
On. Yeah, it's not crazy. That they're mellow, but you know, next level.
Intense. No. What would you say is your greatest weakness then? Is it your self-talk?
So I would want to say my inconsistency, which is not physical lacking, So I guess it would be
inconsistency in what?
Like I'd make mistakes, mm-hmm. you know, like really aggressive mistakes, or I'm going for things and I want to be more precise and I want them to earn the points instead of giving people points. Mm-hmm. But I was going to say that perhaps my, like my mental agility, you know, like when I get stressed, like I go higher and higher, instead of taking a breath and chilling. Like I'm working on that and I've gotten so much better, but I know that about myself. You know, and then like when you're kind of breathing faster and higher, like your vision goes from here to here, you know? Yeah. And so I'm very aware of it.
And that happens during game, during matches?
Yeah. You know, like, it's such a sensory experience. Mm-hmm. Like I rely on a lot of vision, a lot of touch, and I try to listen to my partner and then I sense the other team, you know? Mm-hmm. So if I'm like in this vibe where I'm just like overexcited or nervous or fearful or just overamped, like my senses turn off. Yeah. And I almost hear white noise, you know, and then
in the middle of the match.
Yeah, you know, and then like I'll go up to go hit the ball. My partner's saying, line, 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 line. And I don't hear it till after I land. I was like, oh, that would have been nice to hear.
Wow. You know?
Just stuff like that.
And that's because you're breathing too fast.
Just
you're too
going
anxious
too fast.
In the mind.
I think so.
Really?
Yeah. Because if I could take, you know, slow, deep breath from my nose, my whole system's going to know I'm okay. But I'm one of those people who, like, look how how fast I talk. I'm just a fast talker. I'm a fast liver, and I live up here in myself. And so when I get going.
I know you're practicing this. You're practicing breathing. You're practicing meditation.
I am.
I'm assuming you've got 100%. The best coaches who are like, you're doing Wim Hof, or you're doing layered stuff.
I have so many questions about your last experience.
It was unreal. Yeah. Do you do any of this stuff with Gabby and Wim?
Totally. Or? I mean, I've been trained by Gabby and Laird,
yeah.
Who I adore and love.
Yeah.
I want to be like them.
They're great.
Wim, I bought his 10-week course. I didn't finish it, but I will.
It's
I believe
really,
in all of it.
It's really good.
But it's such...
It's hard to slow it down, though.
Yeah, man. It's
hard
just...
to sit there and breathe
it's the
deep
hardest
for 15 minutes.
Thing
it's so hard.
For me. Like, meditation to me is the one thing in the world I wish everyone did. And it's the one thing...
But you never do.
No, I do. I do. Yeah. I do do it. But it's really hard for me. It's like
so
pulling teeth.
So hard.
Even though I believe in it with all my heart. I believe it's more important than going and busting my ass in the gym. I believe it's that important. And yet it's still hard. So that's where my work lies, like the stillness work. But I know these things. So now I just got to create habit and routine. And just I just got to chill the F out.
If you could add two habits to your daily routine or to your training routine that you know would... make you even more elite and win more. What would those two habits be that you're not currently doing?
Oh, I'm doing everything I believe I should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way I'm doing it.
What's the way? Well, this is creating a new habit by the way of doing it.
Totally.
So what's the way of
the way
being?
I'm trying too hard. I believe.
You're trying too hard.
I'm trying too hard. Like when I'm meditating, I'm like, hey God. What do you got for me?
Right.
You know, like, and when I'm going through these progressions in practice, like, I'm just like, I'm so eager to be so great. I'm just, you know, I'm effing it up. Like, be quick, but don't hurry.
Mm-hmm.
What is that
yeah,
quote? Like John Wooden, he's so rad. Like, I'm being too quick.
You want the result now? Like,
yeah. And that the life doesn't work that way. You mm-hmm. know, and I with all of myself, I know, like, my life always works out. Like, all is always well. I believe that with all my heart. And whatever happens is going to be amazing. And I'm in this because I cannot wait to become the woman I need to be to walk this life
wow.
and the greatness of this life. And yet I want to rush it. Like, part of me wants to rush it. Like, it's such a disconnect. And I think it's just fear behind it. So whatever that fear is, I need to name and look at and, like, give it a hug.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, we're buddies. Like,
yeah.
It's okay. You know?
So imagine...
Is this all gibberish?
No, I love it.
Oh
this is the
God.
Stuff. I love talking to athletes because for me, this is my everything I try to translate from my sports experience into
yeah.
business and life and relationships. So for me, this is awesome.
Nice.
Imagine you're on a beach.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
If your child is struggling in school, then IXL is right for your family.
IXL is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. It's no wonder it's used in 95% of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Plus, a month of IXL costs less than an hour of tutoring. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/20. Visit IXL.com/20 to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
By yourself. Yeah. And you're walking up to the net.
Okay.
And there's a volleyball court. And it's just you, your Manhattan Beach, your favorite beach, but no one's around. And you're standing looking at the net.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, from the distance, there's a figure that's coming and walking towards you. It steps on the court over the line and walks up to the net. And this person is the greatest version of yourself.
Oh.
It's a reflection of you, but the ideal image of what you want to become.
Yeah.
And you get to see yourself across the net. But this person is perfect.
Okay.
In every way imaginable.
Yeah.
The way they think, the way they look, the way they, their body language, everything. It's the greatest version of you. What does that person look like?
Jesus.
Wow.
Like, no, very, I mean, clearly, it's Jesus in,
I mean,
my head.
It's you. I mean, if it's you, the
it's
greatest
the
version
essence.
Of you.
No, it's like, so, I mean, like, are you religious?
Yeah.
You, whatever. Ways, yeah. You don't need, yeah, okay. So, Jesus is just my homeboy, right?
Yeah.
And I just, like, there's this artist online. I should look it up and show you so you can put it in the show notes. But El Curlo is his handle. And he does this artwork of Jesus, I'm going to cry. And it's like the essence of Jesus, or the soul of Jesus, or the frequency of Jesus is like, it's just heaven on earth. Mm. It's like, all is always well. You are good enough. You have it all, you know? And that knowing, like, it's a knowing, a happy knowing,
yeah.
You know? Not that tough stuff doesn't happen, but there's like a happy knowing that I am capable. All is well. I am supported. And that would be me. But when you had me do that imagery, it was Jesus walking.
Wow.
To the net.
But if it was you.
Why am I here too?
Yeah, right? It's true. If it was the best, if it was you, an actual identity of you walking towards you.
A it would
6 foot
all be
three,
the same.
Are you 6'3", 6'2"?
6'2" and a bit. 6'2" and a quarter. Yeah.
It would all look the same. The greatest version of you.
I wouldn't change my, for sure. For sure, for sure. Yeah. You know, what an interesting exercise.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, I
would you be taller look? Would you be standing differently?
I would be
speaking differently?
God made me to be. I would just be fully in myself and fully okay with what I am. 100%, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know? Even though I'm a very much a work in progress, like, I believe I'm good. I believe God did good, and I believe I'm working to get, you know, whatever blessings he gave me. It's my job, my duty, my honor to, you know, make those even better.
Wow.
But making them better my way, like, I got this tattoo and it's the chakras, and like, I'm after alignment in my life. And I think what I'm trying to say with all of my many words is that I'm after alignment, and Jesus represents alignment.
Mm.
And to be my greatest self, I have to be aligned with my source, my God, my Jesus, myself, who I know Jesus is within me. God is within me, you know? And so if I can find that peace, even when it's chaotic outside, whether it's with my children, my husband, or on the court, then I'm a badass.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
How do you get to a place of inner peace when there's chaos in your life? How do you go to that place?
Yeah, well, I think breathing is so important. Mm-hmm. And then just, like we talked about already, just like the words I choose to say, you know, that dictates thoughts and emotions. And so just, I guess, just having the awareness that all is okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, just be where you are, and you are capable of handling it all.
What are the words that you should be saying to yourself every single day on repeat?
Part of me wanted to say you are enough, but that comes from a place of lack. I don't know. You are loved.
Mm.
Like, what would I want my children to know every day is that they are so deeply loved, no matter. I guess that's kind of the bottom line.
What do you think young women, whether they're athletes or not, what should they be saying to themselves every day? When there's so much comparison in social media and so much bullying and all this stuff going on, what should girls say to themselves when everyone might be saying other nasty things about them or to them? Or
Well, I think all of our jobs is just to be the best we can be, best me I can be, best you can be, right? And I mean, certainly I'm a woman. Like, I compare myself every day to everyone. And it's just such a losing proposition. So if we
really,
can
you
just
compare yourself a lot.
I mean, I think subconsciously, or look how cute she is, or he's such a good speaker. Or, you know, just these little things. Yeah. But again, death by a thousand paper cuts. Owie, that sounds miserable. So I think self-love is a really big deal. I really think self-love is huge. I think recognizing our inherent strengths are really important, you know, and that regardless of winning, losing, being beautiful, you know, whatever beautiful is, like, kindness is the coolest and the most powerful. And, like, you are made of pure love. And all that sounds so hokey and probably not helpful to a sophomore going through it, but it's like your job is just to do you and not be persuaded, not conform. You know, like, all this, all the magazines and all everything on TV, it's all about putting us in a box, you know? And I feel like if you look at, like, all of those things, and when you want to compare, be like, I'm not going to limit myself by trying to be like her. Like, I'm going to be rad, be me, and be a nonconformist, you know? And that's, like, a powerful place to be.
Do you feel like there was someone when you were growing up that taught you a really important lesson that you still hold on to today? Maybe a parent or a teacher or a coach or an idol figure that you, a role model athlete. Was there a lesson you learned early on that you're like shaped your life?
There's so many. It would be hard to say, but for the way my life has worked out and what I treasure in life, like, I treasure my family, I treasure my faith, I treasure my sporting career. Like, I love sports. Yeah. I love competing. And in my life, my parents modeled that for me at the highest level. Like, they were so committed to each other. They were very young parents raising their children. And every week and weekend, we would go to their games. Wow. Like, super high level, really competitive softball games or bowling or whatever it was, volleyball. And it was gnarly, and it was really intense, and they were playing to win, and they had so much fun.
Really?
And so that, to see that, not to hear the words, like, words don't teach, right? Like, they don't. But I saw the people I love and respect the most out there putting themselves on the line, winning, losing, like, fighting with their own teammates because they all wanted to win so bad, and I just learned by watching. So that, the gift of that, to me, was just the biggest.
And what's the biggest lesson you've learned as a mom?
Oh, God. Oh. I mean, each of my children, as with each of us, has, like, came into this world differently. And I think just understanding that we're all fundamentally so different, and I have to give my kids the space and hold the space for them, for their greatest selves to show up. Right, to be nurtured, instead of labeling them like, this one has a tough time here, this one's great here, this one's, you know, whatever. And I do that because I fear for my children. You know, if something's hard for them, like, you know, it's like I speak it out loud and I kind of put them here and I want to feather their nest and fix it for them. But it's not my job to fix it for them. And I learned that really early on. And my parents let me fail. They had really high expectations, but they, like, you know, they made me responsible because they made me go through it. And so that was, you know, confirmed me being a parent.
Yeah.
But also just that, man, if you have a partner in the relationship, like, the partnership is hugely important to the parenting, because what my husband and I do affects our kids deeply.
It does. Yeah.
You know, and so I'm not cool with my husband, but I'm great with my kids aren't okay. You know, so fighting for that deep relationship with my husband is very valuable, and my kids see it, and then they get self-worth and security from that. So I think those two things. But our kids, my kids are so wise, and they're so rad, and I just don't want to mess them up.
Yeah.
They are guided and gifted, and I just want their soft self-talk to be better than mine.
Right?
Yes.
What's the thing you're most proud of as a mom?
Oh, well, just them. Mm. Like, I had a part in creating them. Like, they are, yeah. Do you want to be a daddy one day?
One day, yeah.
My God.
Like, scary, but...
No, it's... I mean, yeah. It should be, but it shouldn't be. It's the most beautiful.
Yeah.
Times a billion. Like, my kids are... They're just... I don't know. I don't know how there's war in this earth.
Right.
When there's so many parents and so many children, and it's just... It's the most beautiful, powerful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy to me. There's so much love.
What's your biggest fear for them?
For my kids, that they don't believe in themselves, that they don't love themselves enough.
How do we teach that to kids, to believe themselves and to love themselves more?
I don't know. I think loving that, I mean, yeah, like you can't love me enough or believe in me enough for me to believe in myself, right? It's such an
Isn't
inside
crazy?
Job. Yeah.
How do we switch that then if we have, if the whole world is loving you, it doesn't matter.
No,
you need
God,
to love
no.
It's just like believing in yourself. It doesn't matter if everyone's like, you got this, you have so much potential, I believe in you. But if you don't believe in you, you'll never
reach that. It's worthless. It's so worthless.
And the cool thing is, it doesn't matter if everyone's against you or doesn't believe.
Totally.
It just takes
more. Oh, it's beautiful.
Isn't that amazing?
To be a person of conviction, like self-love, that would be the highest conviction that I would have, like that I would want, that I want in my life. Because I can do anything. I can do anything if I have that self-love.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love yourself and have self-love? 10 being like Jesus level love, I guess, for yourself. Where are you at,
man?
On average.
Well, it's kind of a half answer because with all my heart, I know I am a 10. Like I love myself so much, and I'm so grateful. It's hard for me to say that, but it is. Like I'm grateful. God did good. I'm becoming like I'm a divine human. I believe, divine being. But you know, I criticize myself a lot, so I don't know. I don't know what to say, but that doesn't mean I hate myself. But it just means I'm hard on myself. You know. Uh-huh. But I don't know how we teach our kids self-love. I think we model it. I think just, you know, authentic examples are the best form of teaching. Mm-hmm. And then love them so much. And when they, like my boy the other day punched, our boy Sundance punched his big brother in the throat. Like when he gets pissed off, he goes for the eyeballs.
He's like you.
He's like me. He's like me. But he's so chill until he's not.
I know.
He's a little torse. And so my husband got really loud and he was like, hey. And Sundance goes, I hate myself. And he said it with so much sincerity, I started bawling, which is not okay. Like, I turned around, I was, like, losing it. I'm like, that's his self-talk. And my boy, Joey, was okay. You know, he was fine.
Right, right.
Which, it was not okay what happened. But I went to that because I think I resonate with that because he's so hard on himself. And so we had the talk of, you are perfect. God made you perfect. Like, you have to love yourself. You know, and it's like, who knows what gets through. But like those moments, having conversations around those moments, ideally, you know, at least they'll have an awareness around it or whatever.
Isn't it crazy? And when we start to verbalize how we feel about ourselves to other people, it's like, imagine how much more they might be saying to themselves. Because I used to say so many bad things to myself growing up. And then I would say bad things out loud about myself as well as a kid when I was insecure or afraid or lonely or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a daily challenge.
I know. I don't know why we do that. Like self-deprecating humor, I find to be so funny, but it makes me so sad also. It's like, why would you diminish yourself? Why do I diminish myself?
Make yourself smaller.
Yeah. It's just silly. Even if you don't mean it, which most of the time you probably don't, but it's like, nip that in the bud.
Do you think there's anything to being a critic of yourself, though, that helps you grow? Do you think like, okay, because I am critical, because I do look at this weakness or this thing that I don't have, that I'm becoming better?
No
or
doubt.
If we were always our best cheerleader internally and verbally, would we be better off than we are?
For sure. I mean, those are just, I think you could have high standards and you can, you know, work toward perfection that you'll never get, but keep like working for progress and be kind to yourself
and, still
and
be
not
loving.
Be critical.
And still be loving to yourself,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. Because the world's job is to be critical.
Right?
You know, so
you've got coaches that are giving you feedback.
Totally.
You've got results that give you feedback whether you won or lost. It's like you already have that.
I mean, have you ever played a game and you just had the worst self-talk ever and you've bounced out of it? Like, usually you're stuck.
It's really hard to bounce out
of it. Totally.
You usually need like a halftime or some type of break.
Right.
Or like
shift
something.
The momentum.
Yeah, time out. Be like, okay, let's refocus. Let's clear the energy.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
No, so it's just, you just got to nip in the bud. So, yeah, I think it probably works until it doesn't.
Yeah.
But like that,
or it only gets you
biggest,
so far.
Exactly. Yeah. In the biggest stages, you don't want to leave any of those variables around. You like want to be so high and tight with your self-talk, like in crisis management or in these big moments that I'm training to believe that all moments are equal, which they are.
Right.
You know, but it's just how you frame these things. So.
So in another 1 to 10, 10 being you only speak positive about yourself all the time.
Oh, no.
Where are you at on the scale, 1 to 10 of self-talk?
Well, I mean, I don't do the high fives that well. Like, I'm not like, good job, Carrie, good job. Like, you did great today. I don't do that. So I feel satisfaction in things, but I don't speak to them. I would say I'm like a five.
Five.
Maybe?
I don't know. And self-talk to yourself.
Probably.
You're the greatest volleyball player of all time.
I know, but
five.
I'm going through it. Take all this with a grain of salt. I'm going through
it's amazing that you were able to get that far.
It's so frustrating. No, and I've not always been like this. Mm. Like, you know, I'm just kind of on a roller coaster
right now. Gotcha.
Yeah, but it's been too long. I mean, a week of this is exhausting. Like, I'm so tired. I'm so ready just to kind of just focus on the bright side because it's there. It's like what you choose to look at. But it's like it's what you focus on is what you're going to attract in your life, like, period. You know, so you can be going through hell, but you're looking at the sunshine, you know, and you happen to see a rainbow. And then you start noticing, hey, I feel pretty good today. Hey, I got a great partner. Hey, I feel supported. Like, I want to start that momentum going. Mm-hmm. Not like, oh, I just messed that up. Oh, my partner just looked at me weird. Oh, the sand's so deep. Right. Oh, it's so hot. You know? It's all in our control, too. It's just a really challenging discipline.
What are a few non-negotiables for you every day that dictate how your day goes?
My attitude.
Whether it be a routine or a habit or like, I have to have a sip of this every morning or I have to say goodbye to my husband or kiss my kid. Or what? Yeah. Like, what's the non-negotiable that if you don't do it, you know your day is off?
Ooh, I don't have those.
Okay.
Not really. I think a good attitude trumps everything.
Yeah.
However, the days I do meditate, I wake up before my kids and meditate. Those days are largely beautiful.
Yeah. They're better than when you don't, right?
100%. Gosh. Every single time.
And sometimes we miss it.
I know, because I want to hit snooze.
I know, right?
It's not worth it. So that would probably be the biggest one, you know, and just making sure that I get good sleep at night sets me up for great days.
It does.
And that's another discipline that I'm getting better and better at, but it's a challenge,
yeah.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
This is a question I ask everyone towards the end. It's called the three truths.
Okay.
So imagine you've accomplished everything you want in the rest of your life. You win 4 medals, you win 10 medals, whatever you want to achieve, you accomplish it at this volleyball level, as a mom level, as a partner, as a business owner in the future, whatever it is you want to do. It all comes true. You're a 10 out of 10 in self-talk. You have everything going smooth, perfect.
If I do that, it's
do all these
happening.
Things. And, but for whatever reason, it's your last day on earth and you've got to go somewhere else, right? Your body goes, your life goes. And you've got to take every accomplishment with you, every piece of content you've put out into the world, every business, anything, it's got to go with you that you've created.
Okay.
Your family and your kids are around, but like all the work you've put out into the world, it goes with you to the next place.
Oh.
So no one has actually any video footage of you from winning or speaking. They don't have this interview. Mm-hmm. But you get an opportunity to write down on a piece of paper three things that you want to leave with the world. And this is what I call three truths. It could be your three biggest lessons that you would share to the world from everything you've learned. That now this is all we have to remember you by, these like lessons, life lessons. What would you say are your three truths without having any preparation?
I'm so ill prepared.
It's okay. But whatever's on your heart right now.
Oh.
Three things you'd share with the world.
It's your job to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's your job. Like, it's not your job to make me happy. It's not my husband's job, not my kids. It's my job, our jobs, to create our lives. We are not the victims. We are the creators. And if we live our days that way, we can create beautiful lives.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's one.
That's one. Okay. Two, accept and love people and hold space for them to grow and inspire them by your leadership or by your ways, if that's if you hope that they grow into something.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that would take the pressure off a lot of people if they knew just period, you can't.
Accept people, yeah.
Yeah, you got to.
You can change yourself, but you can't change other people.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, that's two. The third lesson that you leave the world with.
God, I feel like I have so many better ones than I can think right now.
What would you say to your kids if you could share one final thing to them?
I'm torn between... It's supposed to be fun. Life is supposed to be fun.
Yeah, and?
You know, like, don't take it too seriously.
Okay.
Like, all is always well. I always want my kids to know that. Like, I want them to know, truly, if the worst of the worst happens, you're going to be okay. Yeah. I really want the world to know that, and I believe that's true. And simply, like, my grandpa, I asked him for advice. Like, I knew, you know, he was kind of getting ready to go, and I said, Grandpa, what's some advice you can give me? He goes, just don't be a knucklehead.
Don't be an idiot.
Don't do dumb things. You know,
simple advice, yeah.
Like, I'm so messing up your truths.
You're good.
Your three truths. But it's like, it's so cool to care.
Mm.
Like, it's okay to care a lot. A lot of people hedge their bets because they don't want to get hurt. But caring is powerful, and it always leads you to beautiful places. Yeah, and then I just really believe that we are the creators of our lives. We are the creators of our own happiness. I think that's absolutely true. Yeah, I don't know. Fire me. Fire me from this podcast.
I love this.
I don't want to have good ones. Fudge.
I love this.
Gosh, I love this stuff.
What's the thing that you're most proud of about your husband?
Oh, about my husband? I mean, his heart is the most amazing thing ever. Yeah. He's so rad, man. The way he lives life is, he lives his 1440 really well. And he has high standards. He holds people accountable. He has fun in life. And he kicks ass. That's you know, cool. He works hard, so he loves his work. And no, but his heart is magic.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Tell me more about the 1440. What's how do we support this or be a part of this?
Well, so we're at Platform 1440, p1440.com. And
Team1440.com?
Say it again?
What did you say?
P1440.
P1440. So, yeah. The number.
1440, yeah, 1440. So we were started because our sport is of volleyball. It's so powerful, so dynamic. But it's just so fractioned. And everyone has their own little piece of the pie, and the athletes are suffering. The elites are all dead broke. You know, they're stuck in the system. There's no money, no stars. People can't brand themselves.
You could win a gold medal and make not much money the whole year.
100%. Well, it's like such a long conversation. But so we were founded to elevate and serve the sport. Like we are a top five sport in the world, volleyball.
Really?
No one knows that. Yeah. With participants, with viewers. Like we are huge. We are one of the top sports at the Olympics in tickets and on viewership on NBC. Like we are the thing once every 4 years.
Right.
And so 1440 was created to make us relevant every day of every year, not just once every 4 years. Like it's a beautiful thing to be a popular Olympic sport, but it keeps you relevant for 2 weeks once every 4 years.
And then what?
Exactly.
And then you're irrelevant kind of,
exactly.
Right? Unless you're the best in the world like you.
Well,
you
geez, when you've been around 20 years, people can't get rid of you. But no, but you know, the life of an Olympic athlete is really hard.
It's so hard.
But our goal, part of our goal for 1440 is to create kind of the NBA ATP model where the athletes can like cut their teeth, have their careers on the tour or on, you know, whatever platform. And then the Olympics is like the sacred, beautiful cherry on top. But if it's reversed, then that irrelevancy and that growth doesn't happen.
Right.
So we're here to service the sport, and it's beautiful, and you can follow us on social, and we have a lot of juniors and semi-pro events, and the goal is to have...
So it's a tour.
It's a tour, but we're a digital media company as well,
gotcha.
So we want to become like the go-to resource center for all things volleyball, training, mindfulness, kind of the holistic approach that my husband and I live by. We're outfitting our resource center right now, so we have amazing experts. It's really, really fun.
Because there's been different tours over the years, it's been like... What was the big one?
So the AVP still exists.
It still exists.
Yeah.
Didn't it like go through some transitions?
Oh, it's been like this. It's been so volatile. And the AVP is wonderful. You know,
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
If your child is struggling in school, then IXL is right for your family. IXL is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. It's no wonder it's used in 95% of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Plus, a month of IXL costs less than an hour of tutoring. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/20. Visit IXL.com/20 to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
We believe it's mismanaged. We left that tour a couple years ago. We just thought
they were not a part of it anymore.
No, and it was really hard because we love that tour. We helped build it. You know, we feel like it's family. But the athletes were suffering. The athletes were treated like not well and kind of holding the sport hostage. So we came on board to celebrate them. You kick butt, and we're going to create new opportunities. And because we believe in abundance. New tournaments, new opportunities for growth. We have a developmental program where we train around 80 to 100 athletes for free a year. The athletes just graduated from college who are trying to become pro. We give them free strength training, free volleyball training, free recovery.
We're
subsidizing, Manhattan Beach and Huntington Beach. We have two places,
That's pretty cool.
So we're giving back to the sport. But our sport, the demographics in our game are so powerful. I mean, we are the number one sport for girls and women 10 to 18. You know,
in terms of people that play, or in terms of
participation, really? And then in college, you get 12 indoor scholarships and 6 scholarships for beach volleyball now.
Like that's 6 for beach?
For beach. In the past couple of years, that happened. Yeah.
So there's just, they were playing beach in college.
Oh yeah. No, it's a beautiful game, and it's growing like gangbusters.
Wow.
And indoor is ginormous and underserved as well.
It's big. It's big in Europe too. They play.
Oh, it's 100%. Yeah. So there's a huge market opportunity.
Why is there no pro league in U.S. when the U.S. is dominant, aren't they?
Yeah, indoor.
And globally?
Yeah, they're always the top. Always
top one
of the top.
1, 2, 3.
I don't know. There's just so many choices here in America.
There are.
You know? So there's just a lot of white noise. So we just need to figure out the marketing, you know, genius behind what we're offering, because it's so beautiful. And if you show up, you're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
And the lifestyle of beach volleyball is incomparable.
It's a blast,
You know, so I don't know. We haven't cracked the egg yet, but we will.
How else can we support you on this journey?
Oh,
in
man.
In your life, with the career leading up to this.
What a nice
moment.
Question.
Yeah, how can we support you?
I just think good vibes. If you got any prayers you want to throw my way, I'll take them. But yeah, I think you live a good life and make the world better in your way, and I'll do the same, and that's wonderful. But no, this is great. This has been 2 years coming, so I appreciate your patience.
We've been trying to get Carrie on for a while. We've been emailing, Instagram messaging, texting. When can we do it? When can we? Oh, this month. Oh, next month.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
It's all good.
It's a
nightmare.
This
is perfect timing. I'd rather have you now than 2 years ago.
Totally.
Carrie, I want to acknowledge you for a moment. For the way you show up is really powerful, because I can only imagine the amount of pressure you've had over your career in the last 20 plus years of just trying to make it, making it, staying there, you know, going from different partners to having kids to challenges with your husband to just like the age difference in your sport, and just constantly showing up at a high level with a smile, with a positive attitude is really inspiring. For me, and for probably so many women around the world who want to be like you as a great role model. So I acknowledge you for
all of it,
for not trying to act like you're perfect, for not trying to have it all put together all the time, and for being okay with the mess sometimes and the chaos sometimes. So I acknowledge you for everything. You're a beautiful human. I really appreciate you being here.
That means a lot.
Yeah, of course.
It really does.
Of course. I have one final question. It's, what's your definition of greatness?
Oh, man. Well, part of it would be what you just said. Like, when I think of the greats, what did the greats do? They showed up every day with all they had, 100% of that day, and they had such mastery of themselves and their craft, because they had lived the fundamentals, and the fundamentals became part of who they were. And so they were able to execute at the highest level consistently. And because their founding principles were so strong, body, mind, and spirit, and craft, they were able to have careers of 10, 20 years. Greatness doesn't happen once. Like, flash in the pans, that doesn't equal greatness. You know, that's a great moment. But greatness, like Jordan, like Mia, you know, like so many, like Kobe, it's over time. And those people show up with all they have over time at the highest level performing, and the essence of them and their journey to their greatness inspires, you know, whatever that little person in us saying that you have more in you, you know. I think it's a beautiful thing what the greats do for this world. They make us believe a little bit more, and they make us curious about what's inside of us. But the greatest of all time do it consistently.
Yeah.
It's rad.
Carrie, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My friend, thank you so, so much for listening to this episode. It means the world to me that you take the time out of your busy life to come here on the School of Greatness to learn from the greatest in the world, to get inspiration, tools, strategies, techniques to take your life, your career, your business, your relationships, your purpose to the next level. If you found this valuable, do me a big favor and share this with a friend. You can just copy and paste the link, lewishouse.com/983. You can text it to some friends, post it on a WhatsApp group, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you want to put it, share it out there, or you can just copy and paste wherever you're listening to this specific podcast episode link on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else, and share it with a friend. You have the ability to change someone's life when you share this message. And if you haven't yet, if you're just a big fan of the show but you don't subscribe, please subscribe over on Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review, as that really helps us spread the message to more people over on Apple. And also, if you want inspirational messages from me, text messages right to your phone every single week. We've got so many people who love these messages. Please text me the word podcast to 614-350-3960. Again, just text the word podcast to 614-350-3960, and I'll make sure to be sending you weekly messages on inspiration, motivation every single week. And I'm going to close with a quote from another great champion, Nia Hamm, who said, "It is more difficult to stay on top than to get there." Whew. I am so grateful for Carrie for sharing her wisdom today and really opening up and being vulnerable. And sometimes we can achieve a lot and then we think it's going to keep being that same way and we get the bronze as opposed to the gold. Or something happens where we don't get the result we think we should be getting that we got in the past. And it's hard to stay on top. It's hard to stay up there even when you've been there for a long time. And I'm excited, no matter where you're at in your life, you might have felt like you got knocked off in some area with coronavirus or with anything in your life happening right now with this pandemic. But I'm telling you, if you continue to focus on the process, if you continue to fall in love with the process, that becomes the prize. And the end result will be magical and beautiful at the end of the day, I promise you. Focus on the process. I want to remind you, if no one's told you lately, you are loved, you are worthy, and you matter. I'm so grateful for you, and you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.